Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I believe this message for everybody in here, it's gonna impact areas of your life, but generally, I believe it's going to turn the It's gonna affect the needle in every area of your life. Everyone here, I believe God's gonna move in your behalf. God's gonna speak to you today. Any of you guys that aren't familiar with God's voice in your heart and in your life, man, you're gonna hear God's voice today. God's gonna speak to you today, and it's gonna become clear to you. I mean, there's gonna be things that have laid dormant in you, maybe for years and decades, that are gonna come back to life today, that God's gonna breathe life into it. We serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were and gives life to the dead. See, what God's word points us toward, all of us, okay, just generally in our life, is a vibrant, fulfilled life as Christians and as a church. The church has gotta be vibrant. The church has gotta be fulfilled. Man, we're not here. I'm not a salesman. I'm not up here selling, okay? I'm just sold. And see, that's what we've got to understand. Man, what God's word does is God's word fulfills us to the point. In 1979, man, God, I was bit by the ministry bug, and I've never been able to shake it. You know, it's interesting because people say, well, Shear, if you didn't pastor a church, what would you do? And there's things that I've said well, I could do this or I could do that. And you know what? Honestly, unless someone asks, I've never thought of that. There's no plan B. There's nothing else. Pastor Sandy and I have painted ourselves in a corner, but I'll tell you, there's a liberty to that. You know, I want to go to the very birth of the church, not just Guts Church. I'm going to get into that here in a few minutes, but just the birth of the local church, how this works. Turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of Acts, and let's start in verse 14. This is after the day of Pentecost had fully come, after God, the Holy Spirit came upon all 120 that were up in the upper room. They began to pray in tongues, and they could understand each other, and cloven tongues of fire rested upon them. Okay, and in verse 14, Peter went over to the window, and him standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to everybody that was in the courtyard there, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you today. And listen to what he says, and heed my words. He's saying, hey, this is serious. Heed my words. And I'm going to say that to you today. Heed my words today. Today is going to be life-changing for you. I'm telling you, you're going to hear God's voice. God, it's going to be clear. There's going to be clarity that's going to come into your life like you've never had before. Man, that's how strong and how powerful this is. God's birthing something in this church. God's birthing something in you, and God's birthing something in me. And this is how God does it. He said this, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, let me just tell you, all these guys were Jews. All the Judaism, man, the prophet Joel, they knew now it's go time. They knew now that gun has gone off, and those guys are leaving their blocks, and that gate's open, and boom, they're getting ready to roll. Man, the prophet Joel comes into play, and now all their ears perked up. And what Peter said in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Let me tell you, game changer here, especially for women. There's no differentiation now. He said, look, my manservants and my maidservants, the men and the women, male and female alike, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and it's going to explode around the world. See, that's what we've got to understand here. See, I think the church for decades, for generations, have fought battles that there's no, and you know what? And honestly been stuck in the mud on a man's place and a woman's place and the whole idea of that. And we've kind of fallen prey and victimized. Let me tell you what God wants to do. It's God just wants his poor spirit out on all flesh. Men and women, boys and girls alike. See, that's what we've got to understand. And on my men servants and my maid servants, and why? So that they prophesy. See, the three key points here that I've got circled, that just jumped off the page as I read this, was prophecy, visions, and dreams. God's going to pour out his spirit. What's going to be the product? Prophecy, where we're going to boldly proclaim God's promise. See, it's God's will that we all prophesy. The Bible says earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Why? Because what prophecy is, listen to me, what prophecy is us boldly proclaiming God's promise. On your sons and your daughters, your sons and your daughters, your children are going to prophesy. Let me tell you, that isn't soothsaying. That's not fortune telling. That's not predicting the future. What it is boldly proclaiming God's promise. That's what we raise our kids, how we raise our kids. To prophesy, to boldly proclaim God's promise. And then in verse 19, now listen to this. And I will show you wonders. Underline that, circle that. That's the baseline of the whole premise of the church. The whole premise of who we are. That God's going to pour out his spirit and he's going to show wonders in our lives. You know, the Bible says this, that signs and wonders follow the preaching of God's word. It doesn't matter who's doing it. It doesn't matter what station in life they're in. It doesn't matter what their history or their past is. Man, you preach God's word, you proclaim God's word, you speak God's word, his promise. Guess what? Signs and wonders are going to follow it. See, that's what the world's looking for. The world is looking for a dynamic church. Yeah, dynamic church ministry, dynamic church services, but I'm just telling you, the missing element is a dynamic church. Is we're all participating. We're all in one accord. We're all doing our share. And you know what? We're all allowing God to pour. Let me just clear something up about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the King James is referred to as the Holy Ghost, which makes it kind of spooky for people, okay? And I'm fine with either term, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. I'm fine with them. But let me tell you literally what it is, God's breath. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the breath of heaven. That what God is doing in you here today, right here and right now, is he's breathing into you. And see, what God does is God breathes life into us. God breathes enough into us. See, but he doesn't just breathe enough, he breathes more than enough. He doesn't just breathe life, he breathes eternal life. He breathes the God kind of life. It's different than anything else in the world. See, that's what we've got to understand. See, I'm not just here motivating or inspiring you. Let me tell you what. What this is doing is God's taking 55-gallon drums of hope and he's pouring it onto our lives. And guess what? This is a hope. He doesn't just give you hope. He gives you hope that doesn't disappoint. See, I'm setting you up here for the next few verses. I'm telling you, this is going to eliminate your excuses. It's going to stop you from making explanations for why your life is the way it is. See, the key element, and here's the progression. It's prophecy, it's visions, and it's dreams. And see, what's difficult about this is, I think we've talked about preaching and we've talked about the word. Man, I think that everybody here, man, we could have hundreds of people that could get up, and you know what? You could add to the equation about speaking the word in season and out of season. No matter what's happening in your life, that what do? We trust God's word. We speak God's word. We could do that. We could even talk about vision. Without a vision, people perish. God says, my people perish. So vision, it's vital. We all know that vision leaks. That we've got to be talking about that vision. We got to write the, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain. Write it on tablets, make it plain, make it simple so that those running can read it. Why? Because life happens. And you know what? Vision leaks. Write it simply and make it plain. See, so there's prophecy, there's visions, but listen, the third element that I believe is left out of the church is dreams. The dreams for our lives. What's interesting is that I think it's natural for kids to dream. Man, when you dream, what are you gonna be when you grow up? I'm gonna be a fireman. What are you gonna be when you grow up? I'm gonna be an astronaut. What are you when you grow up? I'm gonna be the cleanup hitter for the St. Louis Cardinals. What are you gonna be when you grow up? I'm gonna be a doctor. I'm gonna be a surgeon. I'm gonna cure cancer. Kids can do that. Man, what if I got up here and at 60 years old and said, I've got a dream, I'm going to cure cancer. You'll be like, oh my gosh, that's crazy talk. That's nuts. But what's interesting is the word says that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Our sons and our daughters, our babies will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Let me tell you, every teenager, everybody in their 20s, 30s, 40s in this room, you're visionary. See, leadership's got to be visionary for you in your home, in your personal life, in your home, with your family, your children, in the church, in your business life, your ministry life. You got to be a visionary leader. See, that's the key. That's who's making. Let me just tell you, man, probably more so than any other time in the history of man, visionary leadership is the basic, I'm just telling you, it's the foundation of business. But let me tell you, the missing element, I believe, is dreams. Why? Because the older you get, the more accomplished you are, the more experiences that you have, the more education you have. Let me tell you what our experience and our education does. It shrinks our dreams. And what God said is, I'm going to pour out of my spirit and old men are going to dream dreams. See, I'm in that place now where the visionary leadership part of my life, my ministry, even this church, other people are doing that. They really are. Man, that most of our staff in their 20s and 30s, a couple in their 40s, man, those guys are coming with vision of ministry and vision of leadership and vision of how to do it. And let me tell you, it's so important, but let me just tell you, the missing element to most of our lives is, where are our dreams? What do we do with our dreams? And I'm not talking about things you have at night while you're sleeping. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about, you know what, the way the world said, man, if you had no fear, if you weren't worried about anything, man, what would you do? What's your dream? And let me tell you, that's where the world starts, but let me tell you, the kingdom doesn't stop with that. Because we're thinking about our resources, we're thinking about our time, and we're thinking about our efforts, and we're thinking about the amount of people that we have and the money that comes into play. Do you understand that money's not the issue? Vision is always the issue. Money is just provision. That's all that is. Write that down. Money is not a necessity. Money is just provision. And provision follows vision. See, that's what we've got to understand. So if you've got a lack of money, it's not a lack of money. It's a lack of provision because it's got no vision to follow. See, and I'm telling you, that should break apart most of the ceilings and the lids that people have on their lives financially. What is the purpose for your money? Man, I asked a billionaire one time that he was given $20 million to Arizona State University, the stadium program. And we're just standing around talking. He's asking me about the church. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, let me just tell you, how do you talk to people about managing their funds and investments? And he said, man, money's easy if you understand the purpose of it. And I'd venture to say most people don't have any idea what the purpose of their money is. That's why they worry about it. That's why they have a lack of it. That's why they're always having to deal with it. They're always striving for it. All money is provision. That's all it is. And let me just tell you, the world prints currency. The currency of the world is money. Money has the spirit of the world on it. That's why when we tithe, it breaks the spirit. It breaks the power of the world off our money. I'm just telling you, that should be novel for a lot of you in here. Man, the tithe is just a prerequisite to God open up the window. You not having a lid where there's an open heaven. How many guys want an open heaven above your life, where there's health and there's prosperity and there's joy and there's peace that's just being poured out in your life? But you know what? I'm telling you, that's what the tithe does. It opens up the heavens above our lives. God says, I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. This is all related to prophecy and visions and dreams. Now listen, the end of verse 19, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass. And you're thinking, wait a second, this is weird. Yeah, dreaming is weird. I think that's a prerequisite of a dream, is something that's just weird. It's not normal. It's not natural. And I'm not talking about what you do at night. I'm not talking about your nightmares. I'm not talking about your anxiety dreams. I'm talking about your dream for life. Man, the dream that I have for my life is concrete. It's as real as anything that I'm seeing in here today. And let me just tell you what the bottom line with this is, for me to live the dream. So many people are saying, I'll say, man, how's it going? Oh, I'm just living the dream. No, you're living the vision. Your vision and your dream are two different things. Your vision's something that you could write it down. You could make it plain. Man, you could transfer it to people. You could translate it into people groups. But your dream, oh my gosh. Man, the new people groups that I see, new dreams that I have. I remember when Taylor and I went to Haiti and we saw the plight of those children on Loganoff, and we're flying home, and I said, God, I don't know what to do with all this. And you know what? The Spirit of God spoke to me and said, hey, well, you saw it. You saw them. And it was real easy because the word rose up in my heart when God spoke that to me, and you saw me and didn't do anything. And they said, when did we see you naked and ashamed and imprisoned and hungry? When did we see you without water and not provided? And Jesus said, if you do it to the least of them, you've done it unto me. Man, we see people. Let me tell you, we as Christians, we have to begin to dream to reach these people groups. Man, it's on somebody's heart. Every people group on the planet. You know, after 9/11, Michael DelGiorno, a disc jockey here in town and kind of Tulsa's version of a shock jock, he called me up and said, can you be on my show? And I said, sure. He said, man, everything that's happening, they're flying planes into buildings and it's going crazy and radical Islam. And man, is this the end? I said, no. I wasn't prepped for that question. I just, no, this isn't the end. The devil and evil people don't get to choose when the end is. The Bible says when the gospel's preached to the four corners of the earth, the end will come. Not when people are flying planes into buildings. That just proves that the world's broken and fallen. That just proves that mankind needs Jesus. And it kind of took the air out of that show. But it's like, no, you know what? We, believers in Jesus, the local church, we decide when the end comes. God said, I'll show you wonders. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Holy Spirit provides us, listen, with prophecy, with visions, and with dreams. Dreams and vision, they align with our faith. However much you can trust God is what you can dream. We live by faith. We dream by faith. Man, we trust God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, so many people, it's become popular to have a bucket list. What's on your bucket list? And most of our bucket list is fun, but probably not fulfilling. Well, on our family vacation, we went to Jackson Hole and we all met and had just a wonderful time. And Sandy and I decided that we were going to go to Yellowstone, and nobody was really excited about it other than us, but everybody went. And so we all went. We drove an hour and a half or 2 hours to get there, and you go up, and you've got to see Old Faithful, right? And it's just, it's on our bucket list to see Old Faithful. And we go, and we sit there, and Old Faithful goes off about every 90 minutes, and it's pretty faithful to do that. And it's old, evidently, because that thing didn't shoot up hundreds of feet like I was expecting it to. It kind of began to spit and bubble, and there was some smoke coming out of the ground, and that's pretty cool. And then that thing went off about 30 feet. And I was looking at everybody around, thousands of people there, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, okay, that's cool. People taking pictures, video. I'm taking a video, and I'm like, okay, is it going to go? It's got to go. And Taylor said, my goodness, it'd be hard to do it every 90 minutes, but we'd go in my backyard. I could put my thumb on my hose and we could do this. Sandy got tickled and started giggling, and it was a family vacation. It was awesome. But see, we look at our lives. It's fun, but it wasn't that fulfilling. Yeah, you got to go. It's one of the wonders of the world, I think. I don't. But we need to have a playbook, and we need to follow a game plan in our life, not just a bucket list of fun things. But let me just tell you, there's a tension. Do you have things on your list? Is there anything on your bucket list that, here's the tension, that you know won't happen because it's impossible? Let me tell you, you are sitting in a dream. God gave us a vision, but our dream, let me just tell you, in 1979, I got saved. A dramatic conversion. Jesus made himself real to me. I had a dream, a vision of ministry that was a dream that was in my heart. And you're in your truck and you're driving down a two-lane county road, because that's where I lived and everything was that. And you get to a dirt path with two ruts where the tires go, and there's grass growing in the middle. And you turn down that path and it just kind of meanders through the woods. And you drive through the trees and it comes to an opening. This is in 1979. There was an opening, and in that opening there were just tons of people, hundreds of people everywhere. And they're throwing footballs and frisbees and horseshoes and just people loving being there. And it was so impressive. And then in the middle of it, there's this huge barn. And that barn was reverberating. This was in my dream. And the barn's just reverberating. So you got to go into that barn. It's 1979. And I go into that barn, I'm in my early 20s, and to the left I look and there's hay bales and there's a hayloft and there's people sitting everywhere. They're sitting on hay bales, they're sitting on the hayloft, and you turn around to the right and there's this monster sound system and a tear your face off rock and roll band. I didn't know that if there was anything like that on the earth, but I thought, this is amazing. I want to be here every day. And then I realized that that's the dream that God gave me for church. Everybody didn't have a hymnal. There weren't pews. There nothing was choreographed. It just were people that were just loving each other and loving being there. And now we're here. This is what happened. You'll say, well, but that's chaotic. I know. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, but people are coming in with great need and life is messy. I know. Come on in. You haven't made a mess we can't clean up. See, that's an adage of our church. Why? Because God is able. And the Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's time for us to dream, because God is able. More than you could ever imagine. And it seemingly makes your dream is out of control. If it's not out of control, it's not God. It's more than we can handle. It's more than we can do. But see, there's different places that our dream's at. One place is where you might be here and you might have no dream. No aim, no direction. You're just letting life happen. And I tell you, that's too many people. And if that's you today, it's time for you to change that up. It's time for you to get hostile with that. It's time for you to be aggressive. It's time for you to dream. Someone's going to win that prize. Why not you? Run this race as one who wins. This isn't something we're not going to get to heaven and just get a participation trophy. Let me tell you what the Amplified Bible calls us. The Amplified Bible calls us trophies of Christ's victory. Man, God's able. But you might be here and you have no dream. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, look, call to me. I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you didn't know. God gives us the Holy Spirit to remind us of everything Jesus said and show us things that we didn't know. Man, call on me. Man, I'm going to show you things you didn't know. See, the only reason that your dreams seem like they're impossible is because they're things you don't know. We know in part, therefore we preach in part. That's why us gathering together, that's why you being with people like me is vital for you. And it's got to be more important to you than just once a month or a couple times a month. It's like, no, you know what? I need a steady diet of somebody pushing me to be, man, prodding me, man, to be better, to be bigger, to dream again. Your dream may be out of control if it's God, but you can never say never. Man, some people go, man, I got a dream. I got a dream to cure cancer, but you know, it probably never happened. I remember Oral Roberts when he built the City of Faith. He said, I can believe God that they'll cure cancer in this building. And I remember being a young man thinking, I can too. Yeah, me too. Could there be the cure of any disease on this planet, in this room? 100%. It just requires somebody dreaming. No dream's terrible. You know, too often, and you might want to, if it's on the screen, take a picture of this, because I believe it's a real hurdle in people's lives. Too often we're trying to pull God into our reality instead of letting him lift us to his. God, fix my situation. God, fix it. No, God, I'm going to rise to you. God, I'm rising to you. God, I'm getting up. I'm getting up and I'm getting out. I'm not going to live in poverty. I'm not going to live where I am anymore. Man, you might have an unsuitable dream. You're doing something in life that you can live on it, but you can't live for it. Man, I can't be with people that are just clocking in and clocking out every day. Oh, you know, it's a paycheck. You know, you got to do something. I'm living on it. No. I have no idea how much money I make. I really don't. I have none. I've got an idea how much money we have in savings or how much money. People say, man, what are you doing for your retirement? I'm like, we're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Sandy probably knows. The Bible says a woman will take care of the affairs of the home, which is good. Because if it was me, we'd have bought 50 chairs yesterday or this weekend in Dallas. Because we go to a store. How many of you guys been to a store? What do you do at a store? You don't shop, you buy. I'm not a shopper, I'm a buyer. So we go to a store. We got to buy some furniture for our study in our house. Man, it's worth it. We changed the world from there. So what am I going to do? Sandy said, what do you think of this chair? I'll be like, yeah, it looks good. Here, let me sit down. No. I don't like this chair. But then there's a chair. What do you think of this chair? Oh, I like this chair. I'm envisioning a cup of coffee here, my dog at my feet. This is perfect. The salesperson comes by and says, what do you think? I'll take two of them. She goes, well, we need four. I said, I'll take four of them. So they said, no. I said, no, we need some chairs. These are chairs. You pointed them out. Buy them. I'm a buyer, not a shopper. We came home with no chairs. No, I'm thinking, no, she's playing by a different set of rules. Any of you fellas understand what I'm talking about here? I go home last night, I look at our study, it has a lamp in it. I went and stood there and I'm thinking, I can't change the world from here. I need a comfortable chair. My dog can sit at my feet and I can drink a cup of coffee. But see, you may have a stale dream. It's unfulfilling. You know, your dream's died out. It's delayed. You might have a vague dream. It's not written. I think writing it down is key. Write it down. It's got to be detailed because vision leaks. Habakkuk 2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it'll speak. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. See, I think that pride factors in here. Impossible dream. And Brian Aiden's looking for you to dream impossible dreams. God has to show up. God has got to show up. That's what my dream is. Without God, my dream's probably a nightmare. But with him, it comes to fruition and it's fulfilled. I'm just telling you, I'm ready to live my dream. Man, we're living the vision. Man, lives are being changed. But it's time for us to go from addition to reproduction to multiplication. where we're living our dream. Man, let's live our dreams together. Man, I'm here to help you fulfill your dreams, to live your purpose, not just to get by, not just to get through, but for us truly to live our dreams, our God-honoring dreams, our society-defying dreams, our heaven-filling dreams. I'll tell you what, the dreams I have a little bit to do with what we're doing here and a lot with just filling up heaven, just overpopulating heaven. God's going to give us fresh dreams and clear vision. And it goes back to his promise, I will show you wonders, things you've never dreamt of. So you know what? We're never going to say never. We're never going to say I can't afford that or I can't do that. Because all, you know, let me tell you what we can afford, whatever we set vision for. Because provision follows vision. You hear me? Provision follows vision. Man, money will come because provision follows vision. Money's easy. That's how you've got to think. Vision's got to be clear. Vision's got to be simple. Vision's got to be written down. Vision's got to be transferable, not to people to come and study the vision, but people driving by can read it. If we could put it on a billboard and people can read it, we could be effective. God, I thank you today for speaking clearly and definitively to us. God, for changing lives today. God, I thank you for these intern graduates. God, for the development that's been in their life. And God, I thank you for the development that's happening in every life in this room right now. Everyone in Sepulpa, everyone in Skytook. God, I thank you that people are dreaming in Sepulpa. People are dreaming in Skytook. God, that your hand's on our lives. God, I pray a move of your spirit in this place. I want everybody to stop right now and begin to believe God for the people sitting around you. Let's stay reverent. This is a holy time.